The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into At the Podium episode 4, because it's week 4 that we're talking about, and that's how this works. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL, that's K-I-S-T. And of course, all of this is powered by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Look, I know you might not want an explanation right now, but we still need to hear what happened from the horse's mouth. So with that in mind, I've put together 3 press conferences regarding the week 4 loss to the Tennessee Titans. One with Doug Peterson after the game, another with Peterson from Monday, and then Carson Wentz came through on Monday for his presser. Later today, here on Bleeding Green Nation podcast, we'll have defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz and offensive coordinator Mike Groh, which should be fascinating and informative as always. Before we get to that, I'll ask you again, gentle listener, let your voice be heard. Go to iTunes, leave 5 stars, leave a funny review, or just say you're following directions, it doesn't matter, to help us get more exposure and in front of more Eagles fans. We need your help, and iTunes' weird algorithm is a great way to get that help. Thank you again for your support. Let's get to these press conferences already. First up, Doug Peterson from after the game, then Doug from Monday, and then Carson Wentz from Monday. Let's go.
First of all, you have to, as I said in that locker room, you have to hate this feeling more than you enjoy winning. And it comes out to each guy, starting with myself. And I look at myself in the mirror and make sure that I'm doing everything I can to prepare this football team for each weekend. And effort, obviously, is always there. And we have to look at the film, quite honestly, and it's all fixable. The mistakes we're making are all fixable. Whether it's a coverage element being out of position, or a holding when we're on the perimeter offensively we can't do. It's just things that we can correct in practice during the week, and that's what we have to do.
Credit to Mariota and the Tennessee offense, obviously. Y'all had a 2-score lead, and this road stuff with defense. Talk about it.
Exactly. It's an area that I've got to look at it this week, and because the way our schedule is set up, we're home away, so we're going to be on the road just as much as we are playing at home. So it's something that we understand, I think, where we are as a football team, and nobody's going to feel sorry for us with the injuries, or there's no excuses. So we don't feel sorry for ourselves. We just got to continue to work and keep getting better.
Doug, the last play of the first half, you ran a running play with, I think it was 11 seconds left on the clock from the 10-yard line. What was the thought process there?
Get the first down, burn the timeout, and then have maybe 8 seconds to start taking shots to the end zone.
Doug, you preach to your guys, about the penalties and something that you address with them. How frustrating is it the way you guys have started? It's seems like it's in every game, and really feels like you're beating yourselves in those situations.
Yeah, I mean the penalties are racking up, and can't happen. We've got to eliminate those, and it's just it's something we do look at. You know, I look at it here in the next couple of days, and before we get ready for the next opponent, and try to put a finger on it, and just keep coaching the guys. That's all we can do. You just keep coaching them out of it.
Seems like Carson is facing more pressure this year than he has in the past, particularly with the blitz. Why is that?
Well, give them credit. I mean, that's a pretty good front. We knew that going in. You know, it's a good defense. So I give them a lot of credit, number one. Number two, again, we'll look at the film. We'll make our corrections. A couple guys got edged a couple times. We got to make sure that our backs and, there's cohesiveness with that, all that protection. It's not just one guy or two guys. You know, it could be the offensive line, could be the quarterback, could be the coverage. And so we just have to address it. And we pride ourselves in picking up the pressure, picking up the blitz, and we'll get back to that.
Without seeing the film, what was the issue on the fourth and long in overtime?
It's a situation, again, where we were just a little out of position. And again, credit them. It was a great play. Obviously, 4th and 15. It's a fixable situation, obviously, and we'll get it corrected.
With all the moving parts of the defensive backfield the last couple of weeks and change this week, is it to expect a little bit that it's going to have to be a growing together process for that?
I think, a little bit, yeah. There's going to be. Some communication issues that we gotta address. There's gonna be moving parts, moving guys around. It's very similar to offensively with the amount of injuries, with the running backs and receiver group. There's moving people around and moving parts, and again, it's something that we'll continue to address, continue to work. We don't make excuses for it. Next man up plays, and we coach them up and get them ready.
Getting Alshon back. Helping
out
for the offense.
Yeah, he was exciting to watch him play today. He was aggressive. He attacked the football, kind of a spark for the offense. It was great to see him back and keep him coming.
Was he on the snap count, or just sort of just see how the game goes and how much he was able to?
I just wanted to see how the game unfolded with him, how he was with his, because he missed a couple days there. I just wanted to make sure that he was 100%, strong, as the game went. He felt really good as it went.
You talk often about not settling for field goals when you can score, like touching on the end of regulation and then overtime, the drives, they stopped in the red zone there. What was the issue in those two situations?
Well, a couple times, we stopped ourselves, whether it was just execution, maybe a penalty, back to sub just a touch, a sack, something negative happened, and it just got us out of our rhythm. It seems like we got down there fine. And they, Tennessee bowed their neck and kept us to three, much like our defense has done, for the first month of the season, And again, it's we pride ourselves in the red zone. Obviously, we've been pretty good there, and we just got to continue to work.
Do you feel like a loss like this is less likely to snowball because of what you guys went through last season? Does it have any bearing at all?
Has no bearing. Those guys in there are sick to their stomachs right now. And they take it. They take this hurts. This stings. The losses like this sting. And it's something that we use as fuel for, our emotion and moving forward. It's we try to go 1-0 every week. That's our main objective. And it starts in practice when we come back together on Tuesday.
But I guess what I'm asking is, do you think that your experience last season makes it less likely that this loss will turn into something bad next week or the week after that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not going to snowball that way. Yeah.
Just a couple more, please. At a time like this, it seems wavering a little bit. Do you put more responsibility on your shoulders? Hey, I got to get us back in the middle of the highway.
A lot of it falls on my shoulders, preparing this football team during the week, mentally, physically, how we practice, all of that. But the one thing that this team has learned through resiliency and is just the ownership of doing their jobs, keep do simple better, just focus on their task and their job. And that's coaches and players. I tell them all the time, it can be a simple game if you keep it simple. You eliminate turnovers, you eliminate penalties, and just go execute. and that's where we're at.
The shot seems to be a huge problem, and then they weren't so much last year. They're kind of back now.
Who? What?
Drops? Drop passes. Is there anything that you can attribute that to, or maybe the unsettled nature of the position at the moment?
Just, you know, maybe just lack of focus at the time. You could count it to a lot of things, but number one thing is we got to make sure we do catch the football, and we just continue to work.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Doug.
All right. You had a lot of red zone snaps. You've been able to watch the film now. What was our common denominator there in not being able to do anything with them?
Yeah, actually, quite honestly, we had some negative run plays. Had some opportunities to, you know, shoot the ball down the field. We just missed on that. And, you know, I think penalties. Bottom line, you know, you can't make mistakes when you get into the red zone. It's not the fact that, I mean, we're giving ourselves opportunities. We're getting down there. Now our sense of urgency offensively has to increase, and we got to be able to make those plays.
The ones down the field you mentioned, is that failures in protection, when Carson not seeing it, or what are you kind of referring to there?
You know what? Yeah, it's a little everything, quite honestly. It's it could be, you know, the five men up front, you know, a breakdown there. It could be the back involved with that. It could be the quarterback, you know, and it could be the receiver. It could be the defense just wired, you know, their coverage on our receiver. So, you know, sacks are all part of that process. And looking at the film today, it's a little bit all three.
As you watched overtime again, what stood out about the 3 fourth downs and the 4th and 15 in particular?
Well, we know that that can't happen. You can't, you know, you can't give up 3 fourth downs. And the 4th and 15, if we make that play in that situation, the game's over. And we're sitting here 3-1. So, listen, it's all fixable. It's all coachable. It's not scheme. It's not anything other than we just teach it better offensively, defensively, and learn from it.
Last season, after two games, you replaced Isaac Samalo at guard. Obviously, only 4 games in this, but how do you balance making personnel changes, versus not making them?
Right. No, I get the question. I mean, it's
that includes Jim as well.
Yeah. No, I can obviously speak for everybody, but all three phases. You know, this is a team sport, team effort, and we have to be more efficient in all three areas, obviously offense and defense. But our efficiency, as we look at it as a staff and as coaches, we got to be careful that we're not just, you know, on a whim swapping people out. And because if you start doing that, you know, it starts moving other people around as well. So we're going to take these next couple of days and really evaluate everybody, evaluate us as coaches too, and see if there's a change to be made, we'll make it. If not, then we leave it alone. But at the same time, you know, we can also coach a little bit better and get our guys prepared in a situation to play.
Do conversations like that come up all the time, or is that something that happens when you're thinking about a personnel switch? Are those internal conversations happening weekly?
Well, they're happening weekly, quite honestly, because we evaluate our players based on how they play. And so there's always these conversations each week, you know, on Mondays and Tuesdays, making decisions that way. But again, you know, we as a team, offense, defense, special teams, need to be more efficient. And so, again, it's just not a knee-jerk reaction, but these conversations do go on.
Doug, you mentioned this after games, the other 3 games this season, the self-inflicted mistakes, and you're mentioning it again now. What is the message to the team to try to clean those up?
I mean, it's exactly that. It's just our understanding that for us to play like champions, first of all, we have to understand that we are champions, and you have to play. You're expected to play a certain way. Coaches and players here in Philadelphia with the Eagles, and it's my expectation. And when you don't live up to that expectation, we need to just zero down on it and figure out why. And the sense of urgency from players and coaches needs to sort of heighten just a little bit. It's not a panic mode, but it's a heightened awareness of who we are as a football team, where we want to get to, and we have to eliminate these penalties, and because they're coming at the wrong time, and turnovers are coming at the wrong time, and really there's no good time for any of them, but that's just what's happening. We just have to keep coaching them.
Doug, you touched on this last night, but since the start of last year, you guys are averaging almost twice as many points allowed on the road than at home. It's like 24.1 and 12.4. I mean, I know every defense is better at home, but that's a huge disparity. Any thoughts on why that is? Do you think their preparation is different, their intensity is different?
I don't think so. You know, obviously we play at home. We're in front of our crowd. You know, it's loud. I mean, our defense feeds off of that. You go on the road, you're playing against, you know, in their home stadium, it's loud. You know, it's a strange dynamic. I mean, it's hard to really put a finger on it, quite honestly, because it's the same players, it's the same scheme, same team, and you know, we should end up almost feeding off the environment, you know, and all of that. But something that we can learn from, we will learn from, and we got to fix it quick.
Doug, do you anticipate there being any moves at safety? You only have three right now.
Yeah, not at this time. We're gonna keep visiting this afternoon and tomorrow, and see what's best for the team.
The third down you had at the end of regulation, at their 12-yard line, I think. What happened? Was there a mix up with the route, or what did you see on film on that play? Where Carson had to throw incomplete.
Yeah, it was. You know, obviously he threw it away to Jordan, I believe. Yeah. There was. I don't know if whether Jordan got the signal or not, or you know, Carson communicating the signal. It's a lot of nonverbal communication with the crowd noise and all that. It could have just been easily missed, and it's unfortunate. You know, something we got to get better at.
Was there a blown coverage on the touchdown pass in overtime? It looked like Jalen Mills and Malcolm both sort of froze at the line. I don't know if they were both responsible for a running back or a tight end, but it looked like Maddox had no help in the back right corner.
Yeah, we were in zero coverage. We were in zero blitz. They were coming in, and rightfully so. We come after the quarterback there and hit him, knock him down, whatever, ball's out, game over. So it's a situation where everybody's one-on-one, and it's just you know, making a play.
With the blitz, they were successful. They didn't sack your quarterback, but they disrupted a play, got it like a negative play. On about half of their blitzes, you were about 25%, if I'm correct on that. Where do you go with that? I mean, are you capable of picking up blitzes? Is it a 3-4 alignment? Was it their personnel that made this so successful?
No, we were one of the top blitz pickup teams last year. Carson was very good against the blitz, and that's something that Carson's only been in two games. You know, we continue to work it every single week. We pride ourselves on picking up protection. It's backs, it's line, it's the quarterback involved. Everybody's involved. It can be as sometimes even the route, knowing where your quick throws are as a quarterback. So, you know, we obviously would like teams to blitz because we feel like we're pretty good at it. We're not there yet, but we continue to work at it and get better.
Is Jason Kelsey dealing with a knee issue?
No.
He's been wearing a knee brace the last three
weeks. That came out from, what, first game of the year, second game of the year?
It was after the first game.
First game, but the knee's not, no issue.
So what are you seeing from Jalen? You know, obviously to the untrained eye, we don't know the assignments every play. You know, it looks like he's having a tough time. What do you see from him?
Well, it's tough. I mean, these corners are on islands a lot. And, you know, I think, too, you know, I look at it from an offensive perspective that when you see a guy that you can attack, you try to attack. And I think that's what offenses are doing right now. And he's a good player. We have a lot of confidence in him. He has a lot of confidence in himself. And a lot of it just comes down to, you know, just detail the work and understand the situation, what teams are going to try to do against you, understanding that and try to use that as a strength. And you know, he's working through it. He'll get better, and we'll get better as a team.
As a follow-up, when you look at the safety position, you had Avante Maddox, you know, in a lot of the dime packages and everything. Like, was that kind of like a tough situation for him to be in, like his first, you know, career defensive snaps and everything like that? And how do you think he did overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime he'd been playing the he's moved to safety as a first year player, rookie player. I mean, you put a little bit on his plate, but that's what, you know, these guys are asked to do. They're asked to play some multiple spots, especially in the back end. And I thought overall he did some nice things back there. And you know, it's I go back to, you know, think about Big V when he made his first start a couple years ago. You know, it was shaky, and then the next week it got better, and it just got better as the weeks went on. So that's kind of where Avante's gonna get to. You know, he'll be better this week. He'll be better the next week. The more reps he gets, better opportunities for him.
As I follow up the Roots question, it seems teams are not afraid to challenge you deep, and in particular, Jalen. Is this scheme-related? Is it personnel-related? Why do you think it is?
It's not scheme-related, and until we stop it, teams are going to continue to do it. You saw Tampa Bay do it. Now you saw Tennessee do it. So
is personnel the issue there?
I think it's not personnel. I think it's just each man just understanding his job and doing his job that much better. We talk about getting a 1% increase every day, 1% better every day. And everybody has to take a look at themselves in the mirror and see and ask themselves, are they doing that? And until we can fix it and stop it, I think it's going to continue to happen.
How do you stop the short passing game?
It's hard. Okay. The short passing game, ball's out. I mean, ball's out fast before a guy takes two or three steps. So and we did that some in the second half. We were able to get the ball out on the perimeter. We hit Dallas, hit Nelson. You know, also part of your RPO game. Ball's out fast, so it's a tough thing to defend.
So you mentioned on the radio this morning how, looking back, you would have liked to run the ball a little bit more, but it's difficult to recognize that during a live game. What can be done during the game to maybe have that be pointed out on the sideline?
Oh, I don't know. You know, a lot of times it's just, for me, it's about how the defense is reacting to certain things. I look at the overtime period. I think I had 5 runs and 3 passes in overtime. We go down to kick a field goal. So, you know, there's opportunity to be made and to be had. You know, the other thing too is if you're on 1st and 10 and run it and you're 2nd and 12 or 13, it makes a little bit of difference on 2nd down. Now you're trying to get, you know, 12 or 13 yards or at least half of it back, you know, on 2nd down. So I try to keep a pretty good blend and a mix of, you know, runs by formation, you know, so that matches up with the passing game and just continue to work throughout the game.
Why was tackling such an issue yesterday?
Yeah, that was you know, an area that we need to get better at. Obviously, our open field tackles, something we'll have to address this week, you know, with the defense. But you know, it's something where we got to maintain. You got to get in good position, head up, eyes up. You got to wrap up, be strong. You know, keep moving your feet. All those things that we can coach and teach are fixable things, and that's one of them.
With Jalen, you mentioned that teams are attacking him a little bit now, and you look at it from an offensive perspective. So why do you think that is? Why are teams attacking him right now?
I don't necessarily think they're attacking him as much as they may be attacking the defense. The fact that we have given up a few big plays, you know, I think 4 yesterday again, you know, and it's something, again, I address each week is we got to eliminate the penalties, the turnovers, and obviously the big plays. And it's the same way if – our offense, if we're studying tape and we notice that a defense is subject, you know, suspect to the deep pass or a play action pass or something, then we're going to try to do it. We did it on the first play of the game, and it was something that we had seen, and we just missed by about 6 inches on the play. So, you know, until we can address it and fix it and get better at it in practice, as you guys know, teams will continue to do it. It's like, you know, if a team can't stop the run, keep running, you know, and that's just where we are right now.
Does the same philosophy apply to them blitzing? You think you guys are just going to constantly see the blitzes over the next
– Well, yeah, if we don't pick them up, we're going to see them, quite honestly. I mean, that's just the way this league goes. If we struggle in protection, then – or if there's a, you know, say they target an offensive lineman or something, I mean, they'll try to attack that spot. I mean, that's just – that's the way this game is, you know, and it's a battle of matchups, and we've got to get better in a lot of areas right now.
You've had weeks where you've pushed the guys. You've had weeks where you've tried to build them up. What's the approach you're going to take this week?
I think it's a little both. I think you have to be, you know, you have to be tough on them. You got to show them what's going on and why we're making these mistakes. And then at the same time, you got to encourage them because there's still a lot of positive out there. You know, there's still a lot of a lot of players are busting their tail, you know, and they're working hard and they're sacrificing their bodies for the cause, you know, and to help us try to win a game. So we got to be hard on them, but at the same time, we got to make sure that they stay positive and we stay aggressive. I'm going to maintain the aggressiveness as a play caller, and we're gonna continue to get better. Okay, thanks, guys.
Did you see the third and three play there at overtime for the field goal? I guess you kind of ended up throwing it away.
Yeah. They covered us. They had us covered, and a little miscommunication there as well. And I just tried to throw it away and keep our field goal position and take the field goal.
Carson, you guys talked about even having also Jeffrey back. It's a spark, but things are going to take time to develop. Looked like in the second half you were kind of getting going, but did not be able to finish and pull it out. How frustrating is that? You guys are so close.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to obviously come up short, especially as an offense when we had chances. You know, we had chances to finish in the end zone, you know, at the end of the game, finish in the end zone in overtime. We just didn't execute in the red zone the way we wanted to. And, you know, you could look at all sorts of plays from the game, and at the end of the day, we just didn't finish as an offense and as a team either.
Four games where the offense had to put it all together for 60 minutes. What do you think it is that's holding you guys back?
You know, we'll have to watch the tape, especially this week, but I think we're hurting ourselves too much. You know, I think it's something little here or there, and those little things kind of add up, you know, whether that's a penalty, whether that's miscommunication, missed assignments. You know, obviously we're making physical mistakes too out there, but at the end of the day, I'm not too worried. It's a frustrating one, but it's one we can learn from and bounce back from.
You feel like you're getting hit this way too much right now?
It's part of the game. It's part of the game. I'll watch the film and see. You know, obviously there's times that I hold on to the ball too long. There's miscommunications and protections that we can get called right. And at the end of the day, we got to watch the film and regroup on that.
Did they blitz more than you expected?
I wouldn't say more than we expected. You know, it seems like we get blitzed quite a bit as an offense, and that's kind of in their DNA. They like to mix it up quite a bit, and I thought that's what they did tonight.
The third down play at the end of the first half, but was that something that was kind of connected to when you ran instead of throwing it there?
No, that was a play call.
Carson, what do you say to Nelson? Obviously, he had a tough game. What do you say to him to kind of get him through?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried about him. You know, he's a guy that we rely on, that we trust, that I trust. You know, I don't lose confidence. Guys make mistakes. You know, I miss throws. Guys drop balls. O-line miss blocks. You know, it's part of the game. And obviously, it's something that we got to clean up for all of us. But I'm not worried about it.
What was Doug's message when he addressed you guys after the game?
Yeah, we just got to regroup. We got to regroup. Obviously, we're a quarter of the way through, sitting at 2-2. Not quite where we want to be, but, you know, we got a long way to go yet. So we just got to keep staying together. And there's a lot of things we got to clean up. You know, I think we're right there. We just got to clean up some things and finish up some drives as an offense, especially.
Well, some of the plays that Alshon made, you know, the over-the-shoulder catch, a touchdown game, you know, you guys hadn't really had much of that. I mean, how
I mean, it's great. I mean, it's great to have Alshon back out there. You know, a guy that can make contested catches, can make plays for you, give the offense a spark. You saw that out there today. We still just came up short, though.
What was the chess match like, kind of identifying the right protection for their center?
Yeah, I mean, they do a good job. You know, hats off to them. You know, we study all week, try and watch the film, and then come in here and they mix it up a little bit more, do something new. That's kind of how it goes every week. So, you know, hats off to them on doing some things really well. And we got to be better.
Are there things that you can do to kind of, you know, shore up on that as far as when you do see things that you're not expecting to change up your schemes?
Yeah, I mean, we got to watch the tape. Honestly, I'm not 100% sure where some of the breakdowns were or what all happened, so we got to watch the tape.
On the third down play, again, in the fourth quarter, you seem pretty peeved there. The pass to the corner to Jordan. What was going through your mind after that?
Yeah, I was just frustrated. You know, I wanted to win the game. Yeah, you know, I didn't want to settle for a field goal. I didn't want to settle for overtime. I was just frustrated that we came up short.
A lot of the third downs were long, of course. I mean, how big a problem was that?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. You know, that's, I mean, shoot, those are things that kind of add up, whether it's penalties, whether it's the negative plays. You know, they did some good things to kind of, you know, on some of the nakeds and stuff. They blitzed right into it, kind of set some good play calls on, and we just got to stay ahead of the chains. We can't keep putting ourselves in those situations. It's hard to convert in those downs.
Thank you guys. We talked a lot during the offseason about just saying guys are going to have a bullseye back last year and get everybody's best. You've kind of seen that. I mean, nothing's come easy yet. And
yeah.
Is that the way this year?
I mean, yeah, we fully expect that, you know, and at the same time, this is NFL. Anyone can beat anyone any week, and we got to bring it every week, and we can't just keep having these simple mistakes that we sometimes, you know, you just want to sweep under the rug, but those little things can kind of creep up and bite you, and I think that's what happened today. Thanks, guys.
Hey, everybody, how you doing? Well, that's good. My name is Bill Matz. I am the director of Fun and Games for Broad Street Hockey Radio Podcasts.
And I am Kelly, the deputy managing editor of BroadStreetHockey.com.
I'm Steph Driver, the NHL editorial manager for SB Nation.
And I am Charlie O'Connor, lead Flyers writer for TheAthletic.com.
And together we make up BSH Radio, one of the shows that you get at the SB Nation podcast family. We have a lot coming to you this year, and we want you to listen to our show. It is just an all Flyers, all the time show, so much content. I really hope you listen to it. It is a great piece of the SB Nation podcast family, along with all your other favorite sports.
We all love hockey, specifically the Flyers.
Let's go the Flyers.
The hockey team, the Flyers.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.